Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning!
Call his wife and
404, McMonagle with you on a Fan.
Today, how's your boy?
Got you for another hour until 5 o'clock when the warm-up show comes your way. Back at it in the new year. Is today the last day we can say Happy New Year? Sure, why not? Happy New Year. Let's get back to work. Full week, back at it. Kids are back to school. Congestion pricing is here. Let me just deal with it. And maybe I can watch a Knick game sometime in the future. I'm an Optimum user. Got no Knicks. Got no Rangers. That, thankfully, although they, you know, beat the Blackhawks. But thankfully, I don't have to watch them. But I'm not happy. We got to figure. I don't know. Hopefully, this isn't too long. But the Knicks and Optimum. I have to admit, I've never been. It's never happened to me before. Like all these battles, you know, you talk about it because you know the fans care, and it comes up. Oh, this one and that. I know MSG when I was with the Carton and Roberts show. Craig went through it with whatever, I forget what cable service he had, but he went through it and he was mad. And I was like, you know, now it's happening to me, and I don't like it. So figure it out, because I'm not buying the stupid Gotham app. Unless, of course, they're a sponsor. In that case, Gotham is tremendous. But we did get to watch our two football teams for the final time of this miserable season. And now it's what comes next. After two miserable seasons from both our teams, at least the Jets did give you a victory on the way out, 32-20 over the Miami Dolphins to go 5-12. They will have the seventh seed, the seventh draft pick, rather. And Aaron Rodgers got his 500th touchdown. It was great. Conklin, he ended up throwing another three. Played really well in this game. And now the question is, as they're looking for a new head coach, which probably won't be Vrabel, now that Mayo is out as the first casualty of this miserable season, as there's, I'm sure, more to come on Monday, or later today, rather. But the Patriots fired Mayo immediately after the game, and every report is that that's where Vrabel wanted to go. That's going to open the door for Vrabel to be the next head coach of the New England Patriots, and it's a better spot than the New York Jets. There's just no other way to put it. It's a better spot. They have plenty of cap space. They have a young quarterback he can work with. They have a top five pick. He played there, and now it just feels like, I mean, that's the thing about the Jets is it's just, because now the Patriots are going to stick it to you in another way. Because it feels like now, and I don't know if it's true or not, and people get hung up on this stuff, and everyone's hung up on whether or not a team was used, or is it legit? Would he actually want to coach the Jets? Like, I think his interest in the Jets was real, but do I also think that he made sure that he interviewed with the Jets as soon as possible and made it public that he would be willing to go there? And I think the idea that they might hire him first and allow him to pick a GM that he wanted to work with. Excuse me, not totally gone that cough. But the idea that he would get to at least have a say in the GM, get hired before the GM, be the, you know, guy kind of with power. I'm sure that was appealing to him with the New York Jets. But clearly, interviewing with him has now set the table for Kraft to go, Mayo did not have a great first year. Again, first year. And I saw Gronk was very upset about it, and Fox cut him off, apparently. Gronk, talking football is one thing, but like getting into this coaching stuff, it's just hard to, I don't know, listen to Gronk and be like, I agree. Good point, Gronk. But Obviously, Mayo had his issues this year. There was like signs of mutiny. Obviously, a miserable season. And now they have a chance. They should have hired Vrabel last year, but they have a chance to hire him and make that and right that wrong. And sure, yeah, the Jets probably scared him into doing it. So now the Jets' first choice isn't gone just yet. I'm sure they'll still fight for him, but it feels like he's going to end up in New England. And as you ponder who the next head coach is, it could be the end of the quarterback as well, because there was a feeling of finality to yesterday's game. I don't know if it's, you know, obviously the way he spoke, nobody knows. It's all up in the air. Fine, I get it. But there was just something about it. The way they even tried to throw him a touchdown pass. Like they drew up a play to get him a touchdown catch. Like it was just the way the game was handled, the way he played, the talk after it. He's got to get away. He's going to get a mental break. He's going to do this. You know, he's got to decide. You know, and just the tone of it all feels like that's probably the last game. And plus, everyone was reporting it. But I think it's a mistake. Bring everybody back. Bring all the losers back. Bring back Aaron Rodgers. Bring back Dable and Shane as they coach the game. And listen, Brian Dable is coming back. Make no mistake about it. If you watch this football game, first in the morning, Schefter told you he's leaning towards the idea that Brian Dable is safe and coming back. Glazer told you the same thing. And then I watched the game. And if you watch the way this coach went out and coached this game, whether it was the first drive going for it on 4th and 7 in midfield, they treated it like a preseason game. They were constantly, you know, substituting players. They had Malik Nabers off the field at some of the most critical points of the game, including late in the game. Like after he broke his record, another record was broken, obviously, or, you know, 500 touchdowns for Rodgers and the most receptions for a rookie wide receiver in the history of Giants football, breaking Steve Smith's record also for a short time before Brock Bowers broke it again later in the day, but he had the most receptions ever for a rookie. So once he did that, he came off the field for a while, Malik Nabers. So they weren't playing their best players. They were substituting players. They put in Azudu a guard after years of telling us he was just a tackle. Like it was a game handled as if it didn't matter. That was not a coach coaching for his job. That is not a coach who reports were a couple days ago that he's putting together a plan and a game plan to have this meeting with John Mara and to state his case and talk about why he should be the coach still moving forward. That didn't seem like a coach who's worried about a meeting later today and putting out a good performance against the Philadelphia Eagles team that wasn't trying to win. That didn't seem like that kind of game. And what's puzzling and what's frustrating to me is, yes, they're drafting third, and yes, we can quibble about whether or not the quarterbacks are actually good quarterbacks, and I've been watching college football, and Sanders is not a number one pick. And we're seeing all the reports now that some scouts have them as nowhere near top of the draft, whatever the case may be. They had an opportunity to secure the first pick in the draft, and whether you're going to take a quarterback or not, if you're going to trade back, the difference between the value you could get in trading back from 1 and 3 is different, a lot different. The ability to choose any quarterback you want without having to pay for it and possibly having to trade up, which I think they still should do if they believe in one of these two quarterbacks. But they went into a game at home and treated it completely different. And that's what's like, for whatever reason, it's starting to make me wonder, like, John Mara might not meddle. And John Mara wants to win, no doubt. And I think John Mara wants what's best for the franchise. And right now, he doesn't have the appetite. That's what it feels like. He doesn't have the appetite to start over. He doesn't have the appetite to bring in a new regime. He doesn't want to fire the GM, certainly. I think he's going to be convinced, or already has been convinced, that he's going to keep the coach as well. But the idea that it feels like now that this was the game plan for today, but last week it was important to win a meaningless game so that they don't have the distinction of being winless at home. And that's the kind of thing, like, that's the kind of thing that shouldn't matter. And yet it feels like it was very important to this owner. But now they're drafting third, and for me, again, even at third, and thankfully they did lose this game, and thankfully the coach was probably told he's staying, and the coach wasn't coaching for his job, and they, you know, lost the football game they needed to lose, and now they're drafting third overall. And at third overall, there is still a path, even though the Patriots are not drafting first, and that would have been the easiest trade-up because they do not need a quarterback, having Drake May, and both of Tennessee and Cleveland are probably in draft quarterback positions, you would think. Certainly Tennessee is, who need a quarterback desperately, and you would imagine even the situation with Watson and the money owed and the reworking of his contract and everything else, that they're probably looking to bring in a young quarterback, especially when you draft second overall. And that's really my main point. If you are going to keep Brian Daboll, if you are going to keep Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, who specifically got a job, who were candidates to be the head coach and GM of the New York Football Giants because they drafted and developed Josh Allen, then you have to let him do it. And when you're picking third at the draft and you don't have a quarterback, there's only one thing to do. I'm sorry, I disagree. I disagree with everybody. Oh, well, listen, there's other, one of those guys isn't an actual quarterback. I don't know. You don't know. If Brian Daboll believes so, then do it. And if you don't have a quarterback, nothing else matters. I don't think Washington was in a position to draft a quarterback and change their entire team. And look what happened. I didn't think the Texans were in a position to draft a quarterback and change their entire franchise. Look what happened. Look what's going on in Denver. They're in the playoffs. Washington won 12 games. The Washington Commanders, who even the Giants and Daniel Jones found a way to beat up year in and year out, drafted a quarterback, 12 wins. When you're drafting third, again at the top of the draft, you have to be bold. Go be bold. And certainly if you're going to allow Joe Shane and Brian Daboll to stay, I don't need Joe Shane and Brian Daboll to draft the best player available. Like, and if I do that and I look at next year's schedule, because let's be honest, you look at next year's schedule, that home schedule is a gauntlet. The Giants most likely probably aren't going to be good next year. So if you're telling me that I'm going to keep a coach and GM who just orchestrated the worst season arguably in the 100-year history of the team, have lost 2 years in a row, and I'm going to keep them because I believe in what they're doing, and I draft a all-world, dual-purpose, shutdown corner, or I draft some other thing of need, or I trade down and draft a bunch of players, not a quarterback, and I have a losing season next year, if I'm not in the middle of a rebuild and a developmental thing with a quarterback and a coach, because this owner knows all about changing coaches on a young quarterback. He blames himself. He blames the organization. He was, you know, on the day he hired Shane and Daboll, made a point to talk about how the Giants ruined Daniel Jones by the amount of offensive coordinators they gave him and the amount of coaches you gave him. And you're seeing what's gone on with Trevor Lawrence. You see what's going on right now with Williams in Chicago. You don't want to change coaches midstream, but if I don't have a young quarterback and now I have a third consecutive losing season with these two guys, why would I keep them then? So to me, if you are going to stick with these two, go get the young quarterback. And at three, there's a myriad of ways to do it. We'll see how the draft plays out and how many quarterbacks, you know, move up the draft. And maybe one of them fall to him. But if not, move up. They clearly believe in one of these two. He was at the Pop-Tart Bowl. They made how many flights to Colorado? They have been scouting both of these quarterbacks the entire season. Find a way to get one of them. So as these two football teams put an end to another miserable year, a lot of change in the air. I don't think there's a lot of change for the New York Giants, and I think it's time to go get a franchise quarterback. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Gary in New York City. What's up, Gary?
Hey, Chris. How are you, man?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. I agree with you about the Jets. I think that Rodgers, he has to stay. I'm a Giants fan, and I disagree with you about the Giants. I think that Shane and Daboll have to go, and I'm sorry, man. I hate to say it.
It's okay.
I think Mara is a joke of an owner. He's been horrible in his picks of his head coach. And so it is scary.
Yeah, so you want to go do it again?
Yeah.
You want him to go hire again? He's a joke of an owner. Your words, not mine. He's a joke of an owner who can't pick a coach and GM, and what you want to do is go have him do it again.
Yep, and I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so if we draft a QB, I want Cam Ward. I don't know if we'll be able to trade up, but I want him.
Uh-huh.
And if we go, so 4-13, how can our ownership sell our our fans, oh, yeah, so Dable and Shane have to stay.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a QB. How can they stay here? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no, because you're developing the quarterback. And changing coaches on the quarterback has been detrimental to every draft, you know, to every quarterback that has been drafted. Like, you don't want to give him instability. You want to give him stability. So if you draft the young quarterback and you have a coach in Brian Daboll to do it, and let's be honest, that's what made him a coaching candidate. The reason he was up for a job was because of his development and the help developing Josh Allen. So if you're going to draft a young quarterback and give it to Brian Daboll, unless the quarterback shows no promise and it's a disaster, but I'm developing a young quarterback. I took a path. I used the top three pick, or I traded up even and gave up more than just the top three pick to get this quarterback. I just ruined Daniel Jones by firing his head coach after year one. I'm not doing it again. Staying with Daboll and Shane is not just about next year. It's about next year and the year after and possibly the year after that.
Okay, sure. But then, eventually it's going to be a new a GM and a coach. And they're going to be, oh, yeah, this QB, I didn't pick him. It's going to be another Daniel Jones like saga all over again. And I'm scared of that, Chris.
But what if they're successful with the young quarterback? What if the quarterback's better than Daniel Jones? You're eliminating Daniel Jones from that process.
I know the schedule, it's going to be hard.
Yeah, no, next year they're not going to win. Next year they're not going to win. What, you don't expect the rookie quarterback. I mean, it happens. We're seeing it in Washington. We've seen it in Texas, in Houston. We've seen it now in Denver with Bo Nix. There are situations where the quarterback steps in and wins you games right away, and you're a much better team. But there's also rookie quarterbacks that take some time. Josh Allen took some time. He might not even start the entire year, depending on how they handle it. You don't need to win next year. If you draft a young quarterback, it's not even about winning next year necessarily. It's about building the roster. It's a rebuild. You've drafted a young quarterback, you're rebuilding. And it's about developing the quarterback. It's not about winning next year. And again, if they allow, and it would be stupid, you're right. If that's the scenario, if they let Shane Daboll stay, they draft a young quarterback and they lose next year because next year is going to be tough, especially with a young rookie quarterback, and then they fire him based on the idea that, oh, now it's three straight losing seasons, they're idiots. I completely agree with you. That would be if that's your thought process, if that's even possible to you, if you are not committing to Shane and Daboll for the foreseeable future, not just next year, then you absolutely should fire them now. But to me, the quarterback guarantees the stay. And I'm not looking for the quarterback to guarantee the stay. I'm looking for the quarterback because I'm miserable. I don't have a quarterback, and I have the third pick. Like, if I'm a bad football team without a quarterback drafting third, I take a quarterback. Plain and simple. And they've been scouting these quarterbacks all freaking year. He's been to Colorado 6-7 times. Deion Sanders told you in a podcast that if the Giants get the first pick, they're not trading it. They're taking my son. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but he certainly believes it. They were at the Pop-Tart Bowl watching Cam Ward. Now, if the two quarterbacks go 1-2 and they don't believe in another quarterback, then we're having a different conversation. But right now, I am still on the board. I don't care. That's why I'm glad they lost the football game, because you can't trade up from 7, 8, 9 or whatever. But 3? Maybe you can. And now the Patriots aren't there. That would have been an easier pathway, a team that clearly wouldn't have taken a quarterback, or at least, you know, most likely wouldn't have taken a quarterback, where it feels like the Browns and the Tennessee Titans will. But maybe I can convince them to move back. Maybe they don't love one of those two picks. Maybe one of the two fall at 3. At least at 3, there is a plausible possibility of getting a quarterback at 3. You're in the realm of trading up a pick. You're in the realm of trading up two picks. You're in the realm of that quarterback falling behind. 7, 8 left you nowhere. But this team right now, I'm sorry, when you don't have a quarterback, I don't care about anything else. I understand that seems to be like some sort of passe thinking. I don't understand it. And the Giants are in position to help a young quarterback. It's not like they're if you consider Dable a guy who developed Josh Allen and a guy who got the best year out of Daniel Jones and a guy who was able to get Tommy DeVito to win a couple games against, you know, a playoff team like Green Bay and play that kind of game and turn around and sell, you know, pizza sauce. Like, if he was able to do all that with him, get the best year out of Daniel Jones and help build one of the great stars in this league, at least there's something I can point to and say, okay, he's been successful doing this. I can't point to one decision of John Mara making a good pick at GM. He's not had one good hire. So I got to ask him to do this again when I can ask Brian Daboll to do what he's done before. And if you are picking third, you get the freaking quarterback. They're in position to do it, right? They've got the coach that can help them. They've got a stud wide receiver for them. They've got the best, one of the better rookie running backs in the league this year. They've got a Pro Bowl left tackle. They've got an all pro defensive tackle. Like, they've got some talent, and offensively, if you assume Brian Daboll's the coach, you've got the coach, you've got a stud wide receiver for him, you've got free agents, you've got plenty of money and cap space to go out and buy more offensive linemen, you've got the anchor at left tackle in Andrew Thomas. Like, there's no reason, there's nothing about this franchise that you're like, oh God, you can't bring a quarterback into this situation, he's destined to fail. Why? He's got a coach, a wide receiver, a running back, and an excellent left tackle. Go out and fix the offensive line a little bit. They got plenty of money. Go buy offensive linemen. Draft one, buy a couple, fix the offensive line. You've got the coach, the wide receiver. I think Wandale Robinson's another good, like they have a passing attack. Like, there's no reason he can't be successful. The Giants are in some roster that is not ready for a quarterback. They don't have one. And when you don't have a quarterback and you're drafting third, you get one. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you, taking your calls till 5 o'clock right here on The Fan.
Talk about your Jets on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 431, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I was just looking at, Rami asked me about if I was going to go see the new Bob Dylan movie, and I saw, obviously, last night was the Golden Globes, and he was, like, favored, you know, his performance as Bob Dylan, Timothy Chalamet, was, like, apparently unbelievable. I got to go see the movie, but he was the favorite to win Best Actor, but he didn't win. He ended up, we'll see. I mean, he's gotten tons of Oscar buzz or whatever, and so he did not win the Golden Globe for Best Actor, which is a little bit of a shock. And I saw, again, when I was watching a little bit of the Golden Globes, you know, my wife, I had the game on one TV, she was watching the Golden Globes a little bit. I didn't see a lot of Nikki Glaser's performance, and I think she's great at what she does. There's no doubt. Like, she obviously blew up after the Tom Brady roast, and I thought she was hilarious, and she's great at that. But, like, as the host of the Golden Globes, like, I'm cool with it. I clearly don't have a problem with it, and Ricky Gervais did a great job with it. But now, it almost feels like when you hire, like, it's almost like you don't also have to go out there and hire someone specifically just to target them and make fun of them. Like, that's like, it's like, I'm sure she did a great job. I haven't seen her open. I'm sure she did a great job. I'm sure she said a lot of funny stuff about people. But like, it almost felt like, okay, well, Ricky Gervais used to do it, and it kind of got like a lot of buzz that Ricky Gervais was taking it to Hollywood and making fun of everybody. And so now let's just hire roast comedians now to do the Golden Globes and just take everybody down. I mean, I'm not opposed to it. If anything that makes me laugh, I don't question it. It's not like, oh, that's not the quality of humor I am looking for. Like, that's fine with me, but I don't know. I also don't want it to, like, just be always, like, let's just get a, every year now, it's going to be roast comedians, and we're just going to, like, absolutely tear into people at the most unbelievably,
just raunchy way or as desperate way and really look to hurt people out there in the audience, because that's what we want to see. It's almost like I don't want it to be like that's what we want as an audience. Like, yeah, oh, I want to sit there and watch the Golden Globes and watch them, you know, rip people apart.
I don't think it's what we want as an audience. I think it's more what they think we want, meaning
yeah, exactly.
These rich actors need to, oh, we need to tear ourselves down a little bit because we're throwing a party for ourselves, which is essentially what it is. We're just throwing a party for ourselves to give ourselves awards for the stuff that we do.
I get it. And when it was like, when Ricky Gervais did it and it became, it was like genuine, like you didn't know going into it Ricky Gervais was going to really be cutthroat and really go after them and like have fun. You knew he would have make jokes or whatever, like all comedians do. If you hosted, there's jokes at the expense of the celebrities. Like that's what, you know, that's how it goes. But when Ricky Gervais did it and really went in, it felt like organic and like he, that was just him. Nobody saw it coming. They didn't hire him for that distinct point. It wasn't like, oh, let's bring Ricky Gervais in. He'll really take these guys, you know, down a peg. And now it feels like you hire Nikki Glaser. It's specifically to take everyone down a peg and to like go out there and really get as like she had the small segments during the like the Amazon games and everything. I think she does a great job. She's hilarious at what she does, but I don't know. I just don't want to feel like here. This is what you want. We'll give you what you want. You want to see people cut down to the core? We'll put it on TV. I probably listen. No one's watching these award shows anymore. We'll make it a spectacle. Turn it on and watch everybody in the audience just, you know, fear and not make eye contact with Nikki Glaser in hopes that she'll spare them. Tune in tonight at 9. Like, I don't know.
Maybe they could put her on FS1.
Maybe. Maybe they could. Jim in Hackettstown. What's up, Jim?
Hey, good morning. So listen, I'm not as smart as you, but let me see if I got my facts straight.
That's okay.
So when the Jets got Aaron Rodgers, he was not at his prime, correct?
No, I mean, no, it's not his prime, no. He did. Okay. He was a year removed from back-to-back MVPs, but I don't know about his prime.
Okay, and he didn't do great the last 2 years in Green Bay as far as playoffs went.
But no, well, as far as playoffs went, he won 2 MVPs.
I know that.
Okay.
Talk about this.
Not
last
to yell
year
at me.
When everybody was beating them at home.
Yeah, he lost the second MVP year. He lost a bad home game against the 49ers in the playoffs, and then the next year wasn't as good, and they didn't make the playoffs. Yes.
Okay, and he gets hurt four plays in the first game. Gets hurt.
Correct.
And I'm sure you would agree that this year was not a stellar year.
No.
Okay, and I guess you were hanging your hat on the wins against the Patriots and Miami Dolphins, who didn't have Tua.
No, I don't know if I'm hanging my hat on it. He played well. He threw more touchdown passes than almost any other quarterback in Jets history. He threw for almost 4,000 yards. It wasn't good. It wasn't vintage Rodgers. I'm not bringing him back because he was great and how could I live without him? But he wasn't terrible. And when he's healthy, he can still play, as he showed you yesterday. And again, show me a better option than another quarterback plus the $40 million cap hit that Aaron Rodgers is going to give you. Show me the better option for the Jets.
Okay, let's talk about the cap hit for a second. Okay, I've been with this fan for 30 years, okay? I've heard every host talk about the money, saying, don't worry about the money, don't worry about the money. Now, today, all of a sudden, we got to worry about the money, right?
I don't know when I've ever not worried about the money.
Yeah.
Okay. I've never said not worry about it.
How about draft a young quarterback?
Bingo. And then have Aaron Rodgers there.
Bingo.
And then
do your research. Draft a young quarterback, not a has-been. He's a has-been. I understand he's a Hall of Famer. I get that.
Yeah.
But at this point, he's a has-been. What are you expecting him to go 9-7 next year and then go, oh, wow, the Jets went over 500 for the first time in 20 years?
They need it. Desperately need that. They desperately need to get back into the playoffs. They have a 14-year playoff drought. They're the laughingstock of professional sports. And why can't you draft a young quarterback and play Aaron Rodgers? Because if you draft a young quarterback and then bring in another veteran to play instead of the young quarterback, or just go, I guess you could go right to the quarterback. But say, you know, you don't, because at 7, you're not going to get one of those top two guys. You would think you'll probably get a veteran quarterback and let the kid sit a year. If you do that, now you're taking a top pick. You're taking money, you're paying this other veteran quarterback, and you're paying Aaron Rodgers, or at least, you know, cap-wise, $40 million for a quarterback who's not there. That's a lot of, you know, equity into one position.
I'll tell you why you don't. Because Aaron Rodgers is all about Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. This guy is better.
Aaron Rodgers came here when no one else would. Aaron Rodgers took a pay cut to come here. Aaron Rodgers...
Where else was he going? Where else was he going?
I don't know, but he wanted... He specified here and then took a pay cut to come here. Who knows where he was going? I don't know. You're right.
And that's why when he got hurt 4 games into last season, he had to keep his name out there. You know, so people wouldn't forget about him. Oh, I'll be back before the end of the year. Now that's like today we heard, he was finally healthy. You know, he's finally back to normal. Mm-hmm. I mean, cut me a freaking break, dude.
Yeah, listen, Jim, I am not sitting here telling you you'd be a fool to not bring back Aaron Rodgers. He's a tremendous quarterback. He's fantastic. He's everything he always was, and he could win an MVP next year. It's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying he's under contract. There's a cap hit associated with him. If you get rid of him, you have to pay. It's dead money on the cap. And show me the better option at quarterback. That's all I'm saying. Give me the better option. You don't like Aaron Rodgers. Fine. He's not what he was.
Well, not every
fine.
Quarterback has to be drafted number one or number two.
All right, what quarterback then? Just give me a name.
I'm not a GM. You're not a GM.
Well, no, I know, but I'm telling you, I'm looking at it, and I can't find a better answer than just to have an Aaron Rodgers on the team.
Aaron Rodgers is cancer, dude.
Aaron Rodgers is cancer. Okay. He's cancer. A lot of people feel that way. You're not alone. I do not think he's the cancer. I don't. I don't view Aaron Rodgers as a cancer that the Jets can't win with because – I mean, it's not like he walked into a winning organization and took them down. He's played 2 seasons for them. They have 14 consecutive non-playoff years. That means 12 were there before he walked in. They have an owner who makes decisions on the whims of his children. But Aaron Rodgers is the problem. They have an owner who is nixing and vetoing trades based on Madden ratings. He's listening to his children. Like, it's a disaster. He's walking into the locker room saying the quarterback sucks while he's taking a shower. Like, the franchise is a disaster. Aaron Rodgers didn't help. Aaron Rodgers was going to come here and change things. I certainly thought so. I definitely did. I thought so. I thought he was going to come in here and change everything, and they would be a winning team. I believe that. I was wrong. And I'm not saying that's ever going to happen. I don't think I had them in the AFC Championship game. I'm not trying to tell you Aaron Rodgers has found it. The way he played today is proof, or the way he played yesterday is proof. He's going to be great next year as long as he stays healthy, and the Jets are going to be unbelievably good. They're still talented. They still have a good defense if they can get a good coordinator and good head coach in there. I'm saying if they get some leadership and a head coach, Aaron Rodgers can still play, and they have a chance at winning. And I believe more than any other franchise that they need to freaking win. They need to have a good season, just a winning season. They need it desperately. Like, other teams have the ability to kind of say, well, I need to make decisions on what's best for possibly winning a Super Bowl or having sustained success over time. I don't know if I'm in a position with the Jets right now. I'm not thinking about sustained success over time. I'm trying to get one good freaking season so that, like, I might actually have a chance to, like, feel good and have a coach come in here and want to be here or be a, like, I don't know. You know, and other young players want to sign contracts and stay here instead of being disgruntled all the time. Like, I think they just need a win, man. Or that every story that comes out about them, you know, or when the quarterback goes to Egypt, that everything was handled poorly. Oh, they shouldn't have said this. They shouldn't have said that. Only the Jets. Meanwhile, you got issues with other teams. Kansas City... Certain something happened with a Kansas City wide receiver this year. All kinds of stuff happens with other teams. No one cares because they win. Quarterback goes to Egypt with the Jets. It's only the Jets. Like, that needs to stop. They need to change this. And if you present me with a better option to do that next year, along with the cap hit that is Aaron Rodgers, then I would love to hear it. I don't see it. Draft the young quarterback. Play Aaron Rodgers, you know, let him learn under Aaron Rodgers. And when you say Aaron Rodgers is only about him, sure. He's definitely a little bit narcissistic. I think, you know, it's hard to disargue that. It's hard to argue against that. But at the same time, he did come to the Jets. He did take a pay cut. he did go all in with trying to win. Like, I don't think he's half-assed it in any way. Like, he's tried. He's done the stuff he likes to do. He's talked to the media that he likes to talk to. He went on the retreats he likes to go on. Like, yeah, I get it. He spoke his mind on subjects he feels he's worth, you know, he's someone who's educated in. Like, he's done all that stuff. He's talking about Epstein lists. He's talking about, you know, vaccinations, vice presidential candidate runs, Jimmy Kimmel. Like, the list goes on. Totally agree. Sometimes he is an absolute distraction in the clearest definition of the word. But I just think he's the best option moving forward for next year. I think he can still play. Maybe not to MVP levels, but I think he can still play. And if you get a head coach in there, I honestly think he could still win at some level. And again, even more than that, show me the better option. And if your argument he's selfish and everything is a better option and it's addition by subtraction and he's made this franchise worse and the day he leaves, the clouds will part and the sun will shine and things will be better, okay. That's your argument. I understand it. I disagree. Len in Manhattan. What's up, Len?
Hey, how's it going? Listen, love the show. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thank you.
I just want to chime in on the Jets situation really quickly. If I get a little nervous, please forgive me. You know, you're more than welcome to disagree. Everybody in Radio Land is welcome to disagree. I'm going to say that, in my opinion, from a distance, I think the Jets need a coach that can, I don't want to say control or rein in Aaron Rodgers, but the Jets were kind of in a very unenviable position at the start of the season. They didn't want him to play much during the exhibition season because they didn't want to run the risk of having him get injured.
Right.
But as a result of him not playing a lot during the exhibition season, he didn't really get a chance to develop a lot of chemistry with the players that were on his team. I mean, obviously, Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers, they have history. They clicked 1-2-3.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he didn't really develop a lot of chemistry with Garrett Wilson until like the middle of the season. And, you know, when I think about that game in which Robert Saleh made a comment about cadence. I think it was the game against Denver. And there was like a false start or something. And Robert Saleh said, we need to work on this. Again, that's the type of stuff you need to work on in the preseason, in the exhibition season. And if Aaron Rodgers is unwilling to do that in the future, play during the preseason, well, then I think the Jets need to move on.
Yeah, I mean, now he just had a whole year of building chemistry with this team. And I don't think it's going to look very different. I don't think it matters much. I mean, he's not the only one. It's not like every other team is out there playing all these preseason games. It's not like their quarterbacks are out there all these preseason snaps, and Aaron Rodgers is the stubborn, you know, SOB who won't do it. Like, that's not the case. And they had a full season of building up chemistry. I don't think that matters all that much. I hear what you're saying, that it might have hurt them this year, him not playing, and teams probably suffer across the league from it. But it lasts a week or two, and then you figure it out. He's Aaron Rodgers. The cadence is his strength. Like, if you watch the documentary, he talked about the reason, arguably, some of the reasons he had back-to-back MVPs during the COVID years was that there was silence in every building, and he was able to pull his cadence tricks even on the road. Like, this, the line of scrimmage, he's a master. Like, that's what's one of the more puzzling things about this whole thing. So I'm not puzzled by him being on Pat McAfee and doing stupid stuff and saying things that cause a stir. Like, I'm not surprised that he got injured at 40. I'm not surprised he's dealing with injuries. I'm surprised that the line of scrimmage was an issue for a lot of this year when that's his freaking bread and butter. I'm surprised at the lack of chemistry between him and Garrett Wilson for some of the part of this year, although Garrett Wilson, again, had 100 receptions this year. Like, I was surprised by how it went. And moving forward, I just think I don't see a better solution. I don't. I'm not a guy who believes it's addition by subtraction. I don't think it's some sort of disastrous tenure. I mean, it's the Jets. The only thing that makes this disastrous is that there were actual high hopes. That's it. It's not like the actual outcome is any worse than what it's been over the last 6 or 7 years. It's just that there was actually thought. And actually, yeah, we want to get the Woody Johnson real quick before I leave. Do you see that the brief Woody Johnson interaction with the media today after the game? It's on Twitter if you can't find it. But he literally is just, when asked about the season, he gives you, well, listen, everybody thought, not just me, I mean, listen, they scheduled all these primetime games. We were supposed to be good. I don't know what happened. That's an owner who believes he put together the team. And that's a bigger problem than the quarterback. I will break real quick. I'll find the audio because I want to play the audio of the owner, Woody Johnson, because he thinks he's the reason it's a talented team. That's why I fired the coach, because the team I put together is fantastic. I don't know how they're losing. And that's a bigger problem than the quarterback, and the owner ain't going nowhere. So I don't view this as any sort of Aaron Rodgers-led problem. He just wasn't able to overcome, and I still think next year there's not a better option. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Quick break. We'll come back. A little bit of Jets audio and take your calls all the way till 5 o'clock right here on The Fan.
Talk about your favorite teams on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Anytime. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, so real quick, let's get to the real problem with the New York Jets, because it's not the quarterback. It's not. And I was just talking with Fleegs. I feel the same. Look at the way the team was there to, you know, celebrate with him. You hear the way the Hall talked about him after the game. Like, I don't think he's toxic. And again, give me one quarterback who's going to step in next year, considering he's already under contract. If he wants to play, the cap hit that it's going to cost the Jets, give me one quarterback who's going to come in and give you 28 touchdowns, 11 turnovers, and throw for 4,000 yards. Give me the guy. He played all 17 games, even though he went through some injuries, and certainly not all of them were good, no doubt. He certainly wasn't Aaron Rodgers. But again, who's going to give you damn near 30 touchdowns, 11 picks, and 4,000 yards? Give me the guy, and I think he's going to be better a year removed from the injury. I do. I think he's going to be better a year removed from the Achilles injury, even though he's a year older. But he's not the problem. The problem is the owner. And this was Woody Johnson after the game today, meeting with some reporters.
Well, you know, everybody thought this was going to, not just me, thought this was talented, but all the networks that are paying millions of dollars, they put us in six prime time. So everybody thought this was going to be unbelievable. So from that standpoint, yeah, we didn't live up to that early opinion of virtually everybody. But we ended up well, because I don't care about anything else, but a win at the end was good. And so we beat them today. They played well. They didn't give up. Everybody showed up. We did some really nice things. So I'm proud of the guys.
Yeah, I mean, so many things go through my mind listening to that. I mean, first off, I don't care about anything else. We won today. You got blown out the week before. You've had a miserable season. You got 5 wins, but hey, we beat them today. And then at the end, we did some good things. And the whole thing, I mean, it sounds a lot like someone he used to work for and may work for again. I don't know. It sounds a little bit like a lot of people said we were supposed to be good. A lot of people said. Everyone had us in, you know, people were talking. A lot of people said it was going to be the greatest, the best. It was going to be a great season, the best. So a lot of people said 6 primetime games. Like, that's the problem is that owner. Because I'm telling you, I'm having some funny sound. It sounds Trumpian a little bit the way he's talking about how, oh, you know, people said, you know, we did some good things. But in all seriousness, that's a guy, when he tells you the beginning, he believes he's the reason the team, he talked about it's the most talented team he's had. He expects to win. Like, he's the one who got Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's why there's probably a relationship fray with him, because he thought he was bringing in a great quarterback and he just got, you know, slightly above average quarterback play. But he believes he's the reason for the success. And that's why I'm not so sure that, you know, other people are, you know, and the Jets even acknowledged it in the story from The Athletic. But I'm not so sure he's going to recognize his issues. I'm not so sure that article was ultimately a positive, because he's going to recognize how it's viewed around the league, that he needs to change things. I don't think so. Because of quotes like that. Oh, well, we were supposed to be great. It was going to be great. We were, and not just me. It's not just me saying it. A lot of people said it. The networks all said it.
The NFL put us in six primetime games. And ultimately, I don't care about anything else because we won today and we did some nice things. The problem is the owner. Aaron Rodgers has been here for 2 years. They haven't made the playoffs in 14. It's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not the reason for this, and I'm not even sure people are saying he is the reason for it, but it's not like it's not such a toxic environment since. The players like the guy still. Look at them celebrate on the field. Again, is there supposed to be this dynamic where Wilson is so frustrated with the dynamic between him and Devontae Adams, and I look at Devontae Adams' Instagram, and he's right there with Wilson, and they're laughing it up, talking to the fans. Hey, I know it was a rough season. Like, celebrating with Rodgers on the field. There's no better solution for the New York Jets than to stay with Aaron Rodgers. Bring him back. There's nowhere you're going to go that's going to get better play, and they need to have a winning season, man. They just do. They got played for the coach. He played it perfectly in Vrabel. He's going to end up in New England, but get a real head coach in there. Get a real offensive coordinator in there and see if you could take this roster and win 9-10 games and get into the playoffs next year. And I don't think there's a better solution to that than Aaron Rodgers. That's it for me. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Rami on the other side. The warm-up show is next. We'll be back at it 2 a.m. tomorrow. We'll get into some other things outside of football, but I'm out of here. Bye-bye.